it is just a pleasure to be here today to talk to you and you know, speak some things that have been on my heart, you know, not just for the last few months, but even for years that I've you know, studied in the Word. So when I was thinking of, you know, what to speak about, it actually was pretty easy because I tend to gravitate to, you know, a couple different things. One being Jesus, right? The Son of God, the life of Jesus, the words of Jesus, and the power of that is just amazing, right? How could it be anything but a great thing to study? And then secondarily, what I like to study is the life of David. The life of David, the king, the second king of Israel, because he was called the man after God's own heart. And he was an imperfect man, yet still he was called a man after God's own heart. You know, that's what I would want, right? To be called a man after God's own heart. That's what I'm striving for. And I hope that you are too. You know, on my deathbed, I don't want people to just say, he was a nice guy, you know. He was friendly. He was decent looking. He was kind. That's all fine, right? That's all good. But wow, wouldn't it be incredible to hear from others, he was a man after God's own heart. And most importantly, to hear from our Heavenly Father that he was a man after God's own heart. So the title of the message today is Being a Man or a Woman After God's Own Heart. So let's just pray briefly that he opens our hearts to his way. God, just show us what it means to be a man, a woman, or a kid, or a child after your heart. Yes, open up our minds, Lord, as I speak your word. Open up our minds and our hearts to what you have for us today, God. Remove any barriers that might exist, Lord, to understanding your word, because your word is good, holy, righteous, and true. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes. All right. So I'm going to start off the message just comparing the first two kings of Israel, King Saul and King David, because it gives us some nice contrast as to how they both, the situation in their heart and how they operated as far as being a man after God's own heart. So let's start by just recapping the story, starting with 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 9. And we do have slides with the verses. We're really going to be in 1 and 2 Samuel today. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open that up. We're going to start in 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 9. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as the other nations have." But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." They've rejected God as their king. "And they have done, as they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are doing to you. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do." So the people wanted a king because they rejected God as their king. Isn't that a shame, a travesty, that they rejected God? And obviously we read through the time that they left Egypt, it was a constant problem for them, rejecting God. And they wanted a man rather than God the Father. Just incredible to think about that they wanted that. So let's jump down to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. "So there was a Benjamite, a man of standing, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Ephiel, and of Benjamin." Lots of names there. "He had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites, a head taller than any of the others." So what's the verse saying? It's saying that Saul was a man of standing. He was without equal. So he must have been a good man. He must have been super tall. He must have looked like a king, right? He had probably a large stature, posture, maybe a chiseled face. He looked like a king. And so we find that Samuel does anoint Saul as king to really take the place of God. in the people's heart. So let's jump down to the next set of verses, 1 Samuel 10, 6 through 9. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person. Once these signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hands find to do, for God is with you. And then go down ahead of me to Gilgal, and I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do. And as Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart, and all these signs were fulfilled that day. So the first section of the verse, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul in power. Wasn't that awesome? God came upon him in power. And then he prophesied. And it says he was changed into a different person. God changed his heart from maybe a heart of stone or a harder heart to a soft heart. Changed him into a different person. So God completely worked on Saul. So let's jump down to the next set of verses. I know I'm reading a lot, but I'm laying some foundation here. Next set of verses, 1 Samuel 13, 7 through 14. So Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops who were with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. They were afraid. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offerings." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. And just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Samuel. And Saul replied, "When I saw the men were scattering, and that you didn't come at the set time, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." So, of course, almost the first thing that he does is that he disobeys God and didn't wait to offer the sacrifices. You know, he did it on his own. And we'll find that that wasn't David's way, the man after God's own heart. You know, he did it God's way. He had God's focus. And, you know, Saul didn't wait on the Lord. Saul didn't listen and understand what Samuel had said. He kind of heard a little bit of it, and he kind of knew that it was a good thing to offer sacrifices, but he did it his way rather than doing it God's way. You know, and isn't it interesting, too, that, you know, thinking about this, the people rejecting God as their king, and here they get a king who didn't honor God with all that he did. You know, so he had to be replaced by a king who did have God's heart, because God wanted a leader that had God's heart and God's ways in mind, and not a leader that had his own ways or the ways of the world in mind. So if the people weren't willing to follow God alone as their king, that next best thing was a man after God's own heart, King David. And as we can tell, you know, Saul just sort of listened. You know, he kind of heard, but he didn't pay a lot of attention to what Samuel said, which were the words of God. He really only heard the part that said, "Do whatever your hands find to do." He kind of just ignored the rest. God told me I could do whatever my hands find me to do. So we have to be careful not to do that, right? With the Word of God, take it all in, do all of it. That's the way we're going to be men and women after God's own heart, understanding all of the Word, not just a portion or taking a snippet out of context. And then we see from these verses that Saul was afraid of men. He really didn't fully rely on God. I mean, David could go into a battle with a small army, or Gideon would go into a battle with basically no army. Those guys relied on God to do it, and not of their own way of doing or winning, knowing that God is amazing. He's a powerful God, and he's got it all under control. That's another way that we're going to be men and women after God's own heart. So then we move down to chapter 15, 1 Samuel. And the Israelites are told by God to completely destroy the Amalekites and all their cattle, their sheep, because they were just flat out an evil people. And they didn't serve God in any way. And God knew that if they were left to be around, that they would pollute the people of God. So he gave Saul orders to do it, to go after these people. And unfortunately, Saul spares the king and the plunder and some of the animals. Samuel comes up and he hears the bleeding of sheep and the lowing of cows. So he knows that Saul hasn't followed God's commands fully. And I just think about, many times in my life when, man, I've done that. I said, I know the word, and boy, I'm just going to go ahead and do this anyway. It's not that bad. I'm kind of obeying, right? I'm kind of doing it. But wow, usually the results are bad. Bad results when we do that. We don't fully embrace what the Lord has told us to do. There's guilt, there's condemnation that goes with it. So what a great example of a man just doing partially what God wanted, and the result of that, those decisions. So let's jump down to 1 Samuel 15, 20 to 22. And here's Saul's response. He says, "But I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me to, and I completely destroyed the Amalekites, and I brought back Agag, their king." So in one sentence, he's saying, "I completely destroyed him, I brought him back." Just like that. Just amazing, isn't it? And I know we do that. I do that too. The soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. So we had a great reason for breaking the command, right? We had a great reason. We're really doing it for God. But Samuel said, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as obeying the voice of the Lord?" He says, "To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of rams." So God wants obedience, right? To be a man or woman after God's own heart, he wants obedience. In fact, I'm going to say, no, he doesn't want obedience. He wants complete obedience, complete, utter, full obedience, down to the letter. No taking chances, no shaving things off, no sort of doing it. So, because he calls us to holiness, right? He calls us to be holy. Be holy because I am holy. So let's look at the life of David in contrast to that of Saul. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 through 12. So God tells Samuel that to go to Bethlehem and to anoint the one that he's chosen as king. And Samuel brings up all the sons of Jesse, and we pick up here in verse 6. So when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." I just can imagine Eliab probably looked like Saul. Big guy, strong, strapping, that kingly looking man. But the Lord says, "Do not look at the things, the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And then Jesse called Abinadab and all these other sons to pass in front of him. He said, I haven't chosen them either. And then finally, he asked Jesse, are these all the sons that you have? And Jesse says, "Well, they're still the youngest, like the guy that's out tending sheep." And Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in, and he was ruddy with a fine appearance, with handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So sometimes we focus on our outward appearance. I mean, sometimes I think about just the time it takes to get ready in the morning. Right? It might take an hour, some people an hour and a half, some people 2 hours. But the bottom line is, that's fine to do, right? But we got to focus more on our inward appearance. how we appear inwardly before God. There's days gone by when I haven't read the Word, or several days, or a week, or whatever it is. That should be my priority every single day. Focusing on His Word, my inward appearance, rather than how my hair looks, or are my clothes looking good today? Or am I working out today? How are my muscles looking? But spend our time where it really matters, on our hearts. So let's go to verse 13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David. So that obviously shows we need the Holy Spirit, right? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in us, to draw us to His Word, to illuminate His Word to us, so our hearts can be changed into these men and women and children after God's own heart. And God, I just pray right now, during this message, show us Your power. Come upon us in power, Holy Spirit. Come upon us, Lord, fully to overflowing. We ask that You take down any barriers to the Holy Spirit. God, any preconceived notions. Because we need Your power in this world. This world is hard. It's difficult. We need You to help us make decisions. God, change our hearts through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Amen. So in order to be equipped to do his work as leader of the people, David obviously needed that Spirit. He needed the Spirit of the Lord to come upon him. And and once that happened, right, David was anointed as king. He took over as king, right? He just took over. He went up and did it? No, he didn't. He didn't. He waited on the Lord. Even though he was anointed as king, he didn't go and try to kill Saul. He didn't say, all right, now what are my plans to make this happen? He actually waited. He went back to being a shepherd. So let's look at his life as he's a shepherd. This little unimportant shepherd boy, shepherd job. It's not too exciting. And if we think back, when Saul was rejecting God and not obeying, God said, I want a man after my own heart. And that man was a shepherd boy. And that was before the Spirit of the Lord even came upon him in power. So we know that God, during that time that he was a shepherd, he was probably focusing on the Lord. Right? He's out in the middle of some grassy fields, maybe all by himself on a regular basis. So any ideas on how he spent his time? I mean, I've got some great ideas here. and it's speculation because the Word doesn't say that, but you know what? God called him a man after his own heart while he was just a shepherd boy. So I'm going to say that he did focus on that inward appearance. And he worshiped the Lord. Just like we were singing today, it was awesome to see everybody dancing before the Lord, as David did. I can picture him out in the fields, dancing around, playing his harp or his lyre, practicing, just being before the Lord under the stars. Incredible what he must have done and the amount of hours that he must have spent doing that. I'm sure he practiced using his sling as well. He maybe had a sword too. He was a mighty warrior. So he spent his time practicing. I think he prayed to God. What do you think? Do you think he prayed, spent a lot of time in prayer? Absolutely. And I think he was probably a really good worker. He was responsible for those sheep. And that he trusted God. You know, I'm just guessing there were times that he was afraid. Lions and bears would come up. He'd be there in the middle of the night by himself. It might be a little awkward for him, a little scary. But I bet he prayed. He trusted God. He learned to trust God. That no matter what happens out here, God, I'm focusing on You. And kids, I think this is why it's so important to seek God in your youth. You can be boys and girls after God's own heart. Even now, you don't have to wait for anything. You don't have to wait to be 18 or be a parent or whatever. Do it now. Do it just like David did. Seek Him. Seek His Word. Pray. Praise Him like we were doing today, here in church or at home, all the time, no matter what you do. Seek Him. I thought it was interesting, too, that he was a protector of the sheep. You know, he didn't let the wild animals devour the herds. He was a protector. And then he later became the protector of all Israel. So God used that time when he was a youth, when he was an unimportant shepherd, to mold him into that man after God's own heart. So then an amazing thing happened. You know, God put him in a position of influence. This is just mind-boggling how God works. So let's read 1 Samuel 16, 14 to 18. Now the spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. And Saul's attendants said to him, "See, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the lyre. He will play when the evil spirit comes on you, and you will feel better." So Saul said to his servants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." One of his servants answered, "I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him." So I asked the question, how in the world did that servant know that David could play the harp? And how did he know he was a brave warrior? Or more importantly, how did he know that the Lord was with him? How did he know? David wasn't just doing that out in the sheep fields constantly. How did this guy know? So I'm thinking that he probably led others in worship. He probably made himself available so that others could see the abilities that God had given him. And he probably was an evangelist. He probably spoke about God constantly. Anybody that he ran into, you know, he just flat out was not shy about the relationship that he had with God. Not shy at all. So we, in order to be men and women after God's own heart, we can't be shy about that. It's amazing what the Lord has done to us, done in us, how he's changed us. Let's share that. We got to get past that shyness. What are they going to think of me if I tell them about the Lord? Or if I say, "Can I pray for you?" We got to get past that and be like David. He obviously was that way. If that servant were to know that here's this guy that knows the Lord, he's brave and a warrior, he speaks well, he plays the harp and the lyre. So let's advance the story to the life of David where he slays Goliath. And let's drop down to 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47. So David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Isn't that incredible? David understood the power of God, didn't he? I mean, he proclaimed it right then. He's walking out in the battlefield, proclaiming the power of God to Goliath and to all the Philistines. Because he knew that it didn't matter the size of the army. It mattered that he had God on his side. That was it. And then David had a faith and a vision of God's power. When he proclaimed that I will deliver you into, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He proclaimed that. That's what we need to do. We need to proclaim the power, the faith and vision of God's power that we have. He will do it. He will do it. Right? We're walking through hard times. There's a battle in front of us. We've got to proclaim and say, you know what? He will do it. He's going to do it his way. So we find all through David's life that he gave glory to God. You know, looking at the end of it here, he didn't say, "The whole world will know that I, David, smote Goliath." Right? It wasn't about that. It was nothing about his pride. He was giving the glory to the Lord. We all have talents, right? God gave us the talents. Use those talents. But give him the glory, not ourselves. He wants the glory. and we'll be men and women after his own heart. So let's fast forward in David's life, where David is a leader of this ragtag band of armed men, and he's actually running from Saul during this part in life. And in chapter 23, basically, the point is here, he inquired of the Lord often. No matter what he did, before it was going into battle, he would say, God, should I do it? Should I do it? And he didn't just, all right, God, should I do it? All right, I'm not necessarily hearing from you, but time's ticking. Should I go after these guys? No, he didn't. He truly waited on the Lord. And he inquired of the Lord often. And that's, we need to do that. Right? We need to go to his word. We need to pray. We need to seek his face. And then wait. It's actually okay to wait. Right? We're in a day and age that's, we get so impatient. We're in a fast food culture. We can wait. We can wait on the Lord. That is the best way of doing it. And wait for God's timing. So, you know, he didn't try to take over the kingdom. And he had several occasions where he could have killed Saul. Several occasions where he could have just said, this is it. God's putting this guy into my hands. God told me I'm going to be king. This must be it. He's lining everything up. But David had an understanding of God's principles. You can't kill God's anointed. I can't take over the leadership. I can't be the one to do that. So David knew God's principles. And he put them into practice. And the Psalms are just filled with examples, you know, written by King David about waiting on the Lord and crying out to him for answers. I mean, I love the Psalms. They're so filled with just meaty, meaty thoughts and in ways that we seek the Lord and examples of crying out to the Lord. And sometimes I just read those and read them as prayers, as David did. All right, so let's summarize some of these items as I'm finishing up. So what does it mean to be a person after God's own heart? A man or a woman or a child, right? We all can be men and women after God's own heart. So we know that the Spirit of the Lord came on both men, both Saul and David, in power. But here are the differences that made David a man after God's own heart. And we can put up the last slide. I'll just tick through them here. So David learned the heart of God. And we have got to learn his heart. We've got to spend time like he did when he was a shepherd boy. We've got to spend that time focusing on his word. That's our primary way of learning about God. We've got to study it. You know, we can read it. We've also got to study it. And we also need to memorize it. We need to get it into ourselves. So we come upon a situation where we don't know what to do. You know, do we make a decision to slay the king? You know, if we don't know his principles, we might make that mistake. We might do like Saul did and just partially listen to what God is saying. We might make those mistakes and have to pay the consequences of that. And then we need to pray. We need to focus on prayer. And unrestrained worship. That's why it was so great to just see everybody here today with unrestrained worship. God honors that. He honors it when we just are undignified before him. He wants to see us putting ourselves aside and lifting him up as the number one. So that's learning the heart of God and focusing on our inward appearance. And of course, we know David had the power of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for it today. Continue praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. Continue. I just keep asking God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into this place during this meeting and any other meeting that we have. Come into the prayer room. Holy Spirit, come to me when I'm driving. Holy Spirit, come to me when I'm speaking on the phone with a difficult person or I'm in a difficult situation. Holy Spirit, come. Keep crying out to him to come. And he'll honor that. Come, Holy Spirit. And then David made God his king and ruler. You know, the people wanted, they didn't want God as their ruler. But David, that man after God's own heart, made God his king. know, he honored his king. He bowed before his king. He responded to his king the way that he should respond to a natural born king. And that made him a man after God's own heart. And then David was not afraid of what men thought. He feared God and not men. He didn't care what people thought of him. He cared what God thought of him. As I was studying this, you know, just what a great reminder that sometimes I fear men. I worry about what they think of me. I've got to keep that in the forefront of my mind. I need to fear God. And this life is short. Eternity is extremely long. And during this time on this earth, I need to fear God. And not what these men fear. Or not let them dictate what I do. True obedience. We find that David kept his commands fully. And he didn't just partially obey, as Saul did. And then as a boy through his life, he wasn't shy about that relationship that he had with God. He was an evangelist. He told others about it. Maybe he had a small group. You know, he had other shepherds that were nearby him that came and he was able to share with. And then David understood the power of God in slaying Goliath and all these other battles. He relied on God and not himself, not his army, not the size of or quantity of men that he had around him. He relied on God. And then he had a faith and a vision of God's power. He proclaimed God's power. He was a positive thinker because he had God on his side, right? It wasn't the positive thinking of men, but the power of God. Positive thinking and knowing God's word and the power of God. And then he was humble. He gave the glory to God. He did not take the glory himself. And he inquired of the Lord often, and then he waited for God's timing. And he was also quick to admit when he was wrong, and he asked forgiveness right away after his sin with Bathsheba. And the guy said, "I was wrong." He quickly went to the Lord. I think sometimes we try to justify when we're wrong, or we just kind of say, "Sorry, God." But I mean, he had a truly changed heart. He admitted it. He went to the Lord. So if we're quick to ask forgiveness, God's going to honor that. And then he was even quick to worship the Lord in hard times after the death of his son. He went to God. You know, life is hard. Who knows that life is hard? Yes, it is. And you know, if just reviewing David's life, even though he was a man after God's own heart, he had struggles, right? He committed the sin of adultery. His son fought against him. He had all kinds of trouble. So being a man after God's own heart or woman doesn't mean life's going to be a piece of cake, right? Life is not going to be a piece of cake. But we're going to have God as our foundation to help us get through whatever it is we're struggling with. Whatever difficulties with people that we're dealing with, God's going to help us through that. If he is our foundation, right? He's going to help us. And does it mean that David was sinless? No, it wasn't. He wasn't sinless. So that gives me great hope. I am not a sinless man. But thank you, God, that I can be a man after your own heart. Even with the amazing, awful things that David did, he was still considered a man after God's own heart. This is the hope for us. That's the hope for us. No matter what we've done in the past, even up to committing murder. He was a murderer. Yet God still called him a man after his own heart. So no sin that we've done is too great. Nothing's too difficult for him to forgive. We can still be called that. We can still be called kids after his own heart. Or man or women after his own heart. It was all based on David's desire to know that heart of God. That was what he did every day, you know, as a shepherd boy and all through his life. God, what's your heart? What is your heart? Make it mine, Lord. Make your heart mine. I was thankful for what you talked about, Dave, that God says, come be a part of me. come be a part of me. He's inviting us to be a part of him, to have his heart, right? To have his heart. Seek it. Study his word. Pray. Let's use these principles so we can truly be men and women after his own heart. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for that. And then afterwards, the prayer group is going to be over on this side. If you want prayer to be more of a man or a woman or a child or a kid after God's own heart, let's pray about that and continually seek his face so that he can bring these things to mind for us. So Heavenly Father, we just come before you. Thank you for your word that lays this out for us, how we can be after your own heart. God, we don't want to have hearts of stone. We don't want to have hearts that are like other people of the world. We want you to be our King and you to be our Lord. And we want to have you be a part of us and us be a part of you, God. Change our hearts, O Lord. Change us, God. Open our eyes to your ways, Lord. God, we're just grateful for your mercy that no matter what sins we've done, no matter how bad we've been, that you can still call us men and women after your own heart. May it be so, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.